Hello, folks. Pleased to meet you. My, my, my. All you fine folks come here today to hear my story? My, my, my. I bet you might have heard of my husband, Adam. Lots written about him. The newspapers all wrote about Adam Crosswhite. Well, ain't that just like those newspapers to write their stories, just like the man is the only one that counts? Well, I'm here to tell you that that's old-fashioned thinking. I mean, this ain't the Dark Ages. We gotta get with the times. I mean, after all, this is the 1860s. My name is Sarah, and you'll have to pardon the way I look today. Came here all the way from Canada West. We live in the Elgin Settlement. Some of you might know it as Buxton. That's what most everybody calls it. It's a long way from here. Now, you'll have to excuse me today, 'cause I'm a little tired. Feel a little bit like I've been rode hard and put away wet. Oh, but don't get me going on that. Now, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, the Elgin Settlement. That's a home for fugitive slaves, and that's just what me and my family are. You ought to see it. 9,000 acres. Over 1,200 people from every which place. Why, our neighbors are from Virginia, the Carolinas, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Michigan, you name it, and we're from it. Now, we lived in Michigan, a little town called Marshall. At least we lived there for a while. Had our own home, me and my husband Adam, and my boys, John and Benjamin, and our girls, Sarah and Frances. Now, Michigan was a fine place and had a lot of good people there, too. And we loved it. But my, didn't we leave quick? I'm going to tell you about it. Now, I told you we lived in Michigan, but that ain't exactly where we're from. We're from Carroll County, Kentucky. Worked for a man named Francis Giltner. Didn't call him boss. Called him master, if you know what I mean. Stayed around that plantation for many a year. And then heard about a railroad, the underground variety. So along about 1843, me and Adam and the children took a little trip on it through Kentucky, through Indiana, and then got off in Michigan. Found this little section in Marshall, where 50 other blacks lived, and some were even from Kentucky. Now, we worked hard until we made enough to put some money down on our own little cabin. I had another baby, and freedom felt good. 4 years went by, and then, one morning, just about daylight, January 1847, Adam was outside of the back of the house feeding the chickens. And then there was this loud banging at the door, and then the door broke in right off the hinges. Well, in walks two people I knew from back in Kentucky. Now, you know sometimes you get a nice surprise and a warm, fuzzy feeling when you see some folks from back home that you ain't seen in a long time? Well, it was nothing like that. The two men were Francis Troutman and David Giltner. Now, remember that Giltner name I just told you about a few minutes ago? Well, Master Giltner, well, David was his son, and Francis was his nephew. Now, Adam, he done come running around the front of the house and demands to know why they broke the door in and what it was they wanted. Well, they told him that they were there to take him to trial. Now, my Adam, he's a funny guy sometimes, and he said that he would go to trial, but not at that time of the morning. Now, they didn't think that was quite so funny, and told him if they could get a wagon at that time of the morning, they'd take him, it didn't matter when or where. Now, they could see that we had no intention of going along, so they came up with the strangest proposal. They said that they would just take the children and leave me and Adam alone. Well, what do you think of that? Now, Adam said that he would rather die than have any of his children taken, and ordered them all out of the house. Now, by now, there were five of them, the deputy sheriff and a couple of other men. Now, four of them, they went outside, but young Master Giltner, he stayed inside, and he sat down and put his head in his hands, and he cried and cried, and he said to me, if only I would give up the children, they would let me and Adam be. Now, I told him that they had already taken the best part of my life at their service, and that I intended to keep my children to take care of me in my old age. Now, somehow the news was starting to spread around Marshall, and people started to come to our aid. Now, there were even some prominent white men and a lot of colored folks, too. Now, some of them threw off their coats when they saw one of the slave catchers draw a pistol out of his pocket and put it back in again. but my Adam said, don't have no fighting here today. We'll catch him and take them pistols away. Now Adam thought that the white people helped prevent bloodshed, because the colored folk were determined that they would do whatever it took to keep us from being sent back to slavery. Now there were lots of shouts and insults, and they was even talking about tawn and feathering. Now, Adam, remember I told you he was kind of a funny guy sometimes? Well, he was starting to get bolder and told those men that he was going to see what the law would do to them for breaking into our house. Well, let me tell you, Adam, he done turned the tables on him. And wouldn't you know, it worked. The deputy sheriff who had come to help arrest us instead arrested the slave catchers for assault, battery, and housebreaking. Now, while they was on trial for the next 2 days, some kind folks smuggled us out of Marshall on a cart and got us on a train to Detroit. And by the way, the slave catcher got a $100 fine. Now, we ended up in Canada West in a small town called Chatham. It was a young and growing town, and lots of other black folks there, too, almost one-third of the town. Now, we was safe at last on Queen Victoria's land that we used to hear stories about when we was back in slavery. Now, we knew that the government here, they wouldn't send us back. But we kept hearing stories about some of the people that had come to help us when we was back in Marshall. Now, some of them had been arrested for doing what they knew was right. Now, well, we had to do what we knew was right, too. So one day, we get word to come to see the commissioner, a Mr. Alexander McLean, Esquire, in Chatham to answer some questions. Well, when me and Adam went, he showed us this letter that said it was from the President of the United States and the Circuit Court for the District of Michigan. Now, the letter commanded him to set a place and a time to interrogate us. Well, at least that is what Mr. Alexander McLean said it said. Me and Adam, we never had a chance to learn to read or write. Now, he said that we had to put our hands on the Bible and answer these questions about what happened back in Marshall. He wanted to know who helped us and what everybody did. Well, that was the least we could do, was to try and help the people, both black and white, that took a stand for us. Well, we swore our oaths and told Mr. McLean what we knew. At least we told him most of what we knew. At least we told him some of what we knew. You know, sometimes your mind gets kind of unreliable a year later when you're trying to remember who all was there to help. Well, anyway, he wrote it all down, and we both put our mark with an X. Well, to make a long story short, old Master Giltner sued some of those kind folks that helped us by preventing him from getting his money back. And the jury ruled that Master Giltner was to be paid $4,500 for the value of his slaves. That's us. Now, since all that happened, they passed a new fugitive slave law in 1850. Now, that sure did change things for blacks in the United States. Heck, after that, thousands came to Canada. Even lots that had been free for years. Even some that had never been slaves. Lots of folks said that law got passed partly because of all the attention that we got in Marshall. Well, listen, I better get moving on, but I got a funny feeling in my bones that you're going to learn a lot of history here today. You need to pay attention because there's a lot of good history that you're going to learn.